Blog Talk Radio.
Most pleasant good afternoon to one and all. Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. And in some places around the world, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Virgin Islands Small Business Showcase. We're back on the air now with today's special guest, Dr. Stu Rechter, who is representing the Nirvana Temple of St. Thomas. Let's go right into it and say hello to Dr. Stu Rechter. Good afternoon, Dr. Rechter.
Hello to everybody, and special thanks to you, Etienne. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, we're happy to have you here, and you're most welcome, sir. You're most welcome. Well, you are representing Nirvana Temple of St. Thomas. I didn't even know there was one. Oh, there is one. So, first of all, tell audience a little bit about yourself. Who are you and what's your relationship with Nirvana Temple?
Well, I'm a 70-year-old male, and my profession is general dentistry, but I've been involved with organized religion for decades, and I've also been involved with Buddhism for perhaps the last 16 years. And I find that one helps the other. It's just like hand in glove.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Actually, I will say that that I did get my introduction to Buddhism, basically, by being very, very close, actually an adopted family member of a Chinese family. And I have traveled to the Far East many times. And I guess it rubs off.
Oh, I see. Okay. You know, some churches, some religions go by the term, title, temple. Some use the word church, some use the word synagogue. And yours is a temple. What's the difference between those three? Any difference?
No, not anymore. Once upon a time, even if you look in Old Testament, the temple was a place where animal sacrifices were done. A temple was a place where the Greeks and others worshiped their multiple gods. It has a sort of a downgraded or negative connotation. Temple is equal to church or synagogue.
Okay. Well, I understand now under the Nirvana Temple, they are involved with Buddhism. Now, what is that? Is it a religion?
That is a very interesting question that's been asked but to the Dalai Lama. And being an extremely modest man, his answer was, Buddhism is a science of the mind. It can be regarded, certainly be regarded as a religion. So I really can't answer that either yes or no, Etienne. It's
that's fine.
It does involve a connection to a higher source than we humans, and I've always regarded it as a informal religion.
Okay, all right, well, that's fine. Now we call our audience. Well, listeners want to have more information about the Nirvana Temple or whatever events that might be taking place there. How would they get that information? Where would they go?
We have our website, nirvanatemple.org. O-R-G.org. That's spelled N-I-R-V-A-N-A. It's phonetic. Nirvanatemple.org. Mm-hmm. You can see the facility. It's quite a beautiful, impressive place. in a beautiful location. And the temple itself was started about 10 years ago, and it's all put together with the generosity of one family. Now, Dr. May True, that's spelled T-R-I-E-U, pronounced True, lives at the temple, and she maintains it. That's her family's dream. And she can be reached at 340-643-4700. I'll repeat, 340-643-4700. And if anyone wants to talk to me, I'd be happy to speak with them for sure. And I'm at 340-775-9268.
Okay. But the number's also on the website?
Yes. You know, you've got me. I believe that the first number I gave you would be on the website.
Okay, sure, no problem. Well, at least I'll be one contact for our listeners, yeah. Okay, well, let's move on. Buddhism, it's considered a religion to a certain extent. Was Buddha a real person, or was it just in statues we see?
No one in the world could tell you that Buddha was a real person. If people believe it, as much as people believe that in Moses, and people believe in Muhammad, and people who believe in Jesus. The records are too far back at the end, 2,500 years or more. There's a long story attributed to the birth and life of the Buddha. But whether that was just one individual or it was a compilation of many, many, many thinkers that put all these tales and the volumes and volumes and endless books on Buddhist thought, it did not all come from one man, that's for sure.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Now, the one who was attributed to be the Buddha was started as a his life as a prince in India. Actually, it was Nepal. And as the story goes, he journeyed out into the world and gave up his princely life so that he could help alleviate suffering in the world.
Oh, that's nice. Wow. That's like Mother Teresa, also out of India. Wow.
In every of the isms of the world, great religions, there's enormous similarities and
yes,
really no contradictions.
Yeah. Mahatma Gandhi, although he wasn't involved with religion, he was involved with world peace and civil rights and all that good stuff against the British. Yeah. Okay.
Well, for many, Indians would regard Gandhi as a saint.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I can see why. Yes. He suffered a lot on behalf of people. Yeah. Now, is any particular teachings going on with Buddhism?
I'm not sure I understand that question. Could you change that?
Sure. What does Buddhism teach? Followers of Buddhism are called Buddhists. What do they teach? What would someone learn when they go to the temple and study on the Buddhism?
The word Buddha comes from, originally, from the word boot, and also in other languages, booty. And that means to be awake. And Buddhism and the teachings attributed to the Buddha involve awakening of the compassionate heart, but the wise compassionate heart, and also the awakening of of wisdom and the awakening of awareness. To be awake is to be aware. And you are encouraged in every way to be aware of universal truths. And universal mm-hmm. truths basically follow the laws of karma. Karma meaning
karma
action.
Karma is a word again. Uh-huh.
And the effects of karma are the reaction. So whatever you put out into the universe will come back to you in some
They'll
way or
back.
Some form. So in many schools of Buddhist thought, the function of this thing we call life is really a test of the development of your soul. We're all given this honor, this incredible, miraculous privilege to be a human being, according to the reincarnationists. Not all Buddhists are reincarnationists, but many, 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 I'm sure most, believe in the reincarnation. And each go-around in life can bring you to a higher or a level state of incarnation. Now, I don't ascribe to any of these. It's all interesting. We won't know until we're dead, that's for sure. But
And can't come back
but
and explain
the,
it.
The elevation of your soul from one level to another is really critical. And to elevate the status of your soul, you really have to live in your heart, and your mind and your heart have to be united as one, as in the word shalom, which derivation in the Hebrew means integrity. So there you go. Whether it's Abrahamic religion or it's Buddhism, it's all the same. Shalom means integrity of heart and mind, living together so that your thoughts and your actions come from your heart and not from ego or any negative emotions.
Fantastic. Interesting. I'm learning a lot. Thank you. Wow. Well, let's go back and let the audience know where can they get more information if they need to. What's going on?
Well, I guess I said as much as I could about that. NirvanaTemple.org is the place to go. And now that Dr. Chu is very, very, very busy with her acupuncture practice and maintaining the temple and raising a 5-year-old son, sometimes it takes a little while to get an answer. They can always get in touch with me as well. She does have her email and Facebook friends. So one way or another, you can find out what's happening. Now, as far as what is scheduled on a regular basis, every Wednesday at 5:30 in the evening, every Wednesday we have a meditation, a Buddhist-type meditation group at Nirvana Temple. And then on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., we have Hatha-type yoga. And also now we have a Tai Chi instructor who's there on Monday and Friday afternoons.
Oh.
So we do always try to have something there. And really, Dr. Chu really has to work without much of a staff to help her. She has to do most of it herself.
Yeah. Now, you said it has a good location, but we didn't mention where the location is. Where is the location?
Actually, it is quite simple to get to. It's a direct turn off of the Mandal Road. The landmark is the Peace Corps School. So the road that goes up the hill on the north side of the road, on the north side of the main road, the Atlantic side of the main road, is right across the street from the Peace Corps School, and it's just one turn, go up the hill, and you drop down over the crest, and then it's a first right. There's a sign that says Bodhi Way. Bodhi Way. B-O-D-H-I. Bodhi Way. So it's two turns. That's all it is. A left and a right, depending on which way you're coming from.
Well, that's easy for you to say. What you haven't told the audience yet is that they need to have a car to get there. Is that within walking distance from downtown?
Yes. Or a parachute, one of the other.
That's fine. Oh, parachute. Oh, okay, that's good. Oh, you hit that audience, you can parachute in. Okay. So what else is going on that you'd like to share with us about the Nevada Temple?
Big event of the year, which is a fundraiser, is the Chinese New Year celebration, which is customarily in February. And we always have a lion dance performance, traditional Chinese type event, and a vegetarian dinner. And it's a pretty popular event for all of those who are familiar with Nirvana Temple. As far as other yearly events right now, that is really the only scheduled yearly event. In the past, we had Buddhist monks staying at the temple for short periods of time and giving talks, which are very well attended. But other than that, we have no Buddhist monks or none at the temple now living there.
Okay. Well, stand by, Dr. Recta. There's a caller on the line. Let's go ahead and get the call. Take the call right now. Good afternoon, caller. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from, please. You're on the air. Caller, perfect, 643. You're on the air. Okay, maybe the caller's too shy to speak with us. One more time. Area code 340, perfect, 643. You're on the air. Go ahead. All right, maybe they're not able to hear us, but everything should be working. Well, go right ahead, Dr. Wechter. What else you would like to share with us?
You have some more questions for me, don't you, Etienne?
Oh, well, there are some more questions. Guess what? Yes, there are some more questions. We were talking about karma. Okay, you said there's always an action and an opposite reaction. Well, what about the word called Dharma? D-H-A-R-M-A. Is that related?
The Dharma in Hindu philosophy and the Dharma in Buddhist philosophy are a little bit different. Dharma in the Buddhist sense is the law, the way, the Tao. It is the suggested 8 steps to achieving a happy life. The last of them, this 8 steps involves meditation practice. And I will, do we have time? I can go through the steps of the 8 steps of the Dharma.
Yes, we have time.
Great.
We have time.
Okay. I use the mnemonic of this: under a spreading aura live every centered mind. I'll repeat. Mm-hmm. Under a spreading aura live every centered mind. Under, starting with U, A, S, A, L, E, C, M. First letter U stands for wise understanding or correct understanding. The second letter A is correct or wise attitude or intent. The next letter S is wise or correct speech. A is for wise or correct action. L is for wise or correct livelihood. E is for wise effort. C is for wise concentration, and M for wise mindfulness. Briefly, and I hate to be so brief, but we don't have much time. Understanding.
Yeah, that's fine, man. Mm-hmm.
Knowing the four noble truths, or the reasons for suffering, and its easement, or elimination. Knowing the realization of impermanence, about the pain of grasping, avoiding, and delusion. Attitude is basically, or intent.
Uh-huh.
Well, I can go on and on for hours on this stuff. A attitude is the willingness to learn or adapt and change for a happier way of thinking. S for speech is speech that harms no one, but rather speaks only for the betterment. A, or action, refraining from physical harm to yourself or others by not engaging in physical abuse or use of sex or intoxicants in irresponsible ways. L for livelihood, giving back to the world as a contribution for the betterment of all people and the world. E, or effort, is the energy and discipline required to be present, being present in each moment with a conscious awareness of people, situations, and nature around you. C, concentration, shifting focus away from the thinking of the past and the future, and coming to live in this present moment. That's all we really have, is the present moment, because the past and the future don't really exist. And by the way, the reason why children are so miraculous and we envy them and so happy being around them is because all they have is present moment. They don't have a past. They don't have a future. They only live for right now. And it shows in the way they enjoy themselves and enjoy life. And the last, mindfulness, is being present totally in the present moment without judging, comparing, or wanting. So, in other words, being here and now and at ease with whatever is. I'm sorry?
Go ahead. I'm trying to reinforce what you're saying. Go ahead.
So the first two steps of the Dharma that I mentioned, understanding and attitude, are followed by the three active parts of the Dharma. And you know, when you listen to these things, you say, oh, my God, it's just like what I hear in church or the mosque or whatever, because it's all really the same. Wise speech, wise action, wise livelihood are the active parts of the Dharma. And what it comes down to, Etienne, is that one has to realize, be aware of the fact that everything we do in this thing called life has a consequence. Every action and thought has a reaction in the world. So what is the reaction you want out of this world? Do you want it to be a healthy one for the betterment of yourself and the world, or do you want to be a negative one? Whatever you put out there will come back in some way. And certainly by being a negative thinker, you're hurting yourself, or as in the West we say, sinning against yourself, whenever you sin against someone else as well. So meditative, quieting part of the Dharma. And that's where Buddhism is different from the other isms, in that it really, really, really delves deeply and encourages people to live a focused, aware, meditative type life. Rather than going into tremendous detail, I will say that, you know the expression, if you find yourself getting really, really upset or angry, count to 10 before you act. Well, you know, that's what it really comes down to. So I would say to anyone who wants to make a change for the better, if something really strikes you strongly in a negative way, or let's put it nicely, but something that's really deep, someone is really, really hurting, someone's in pain, spiritually or physically, just in real pain. If you breathe slowly and deeply three times before you act or react or speak, you will find that your response is completely, utterly, excuse me, different and far improved than some of the things that we do spontaneously. And I'm here to tell you that I'm totally convinced that if the world could go in that direction, as far as being totally aware of everything we do and say, we wouldn't have any problems in this world, that man-made problems. Because there are two types of problems.
Yeah.
There's the natural phenomenon that we cannot change. You cannot change your birth. You cannot change your aging. You cannot change sicknesses. And you cannot change weaknesses. You can't change death. You can't change tornadoes, and you can't change hurricanes. But
You can change all
of the causes of unnecessary suffering. And Buddhism is a practical guide to being on a path, the happy path, the happiness road. Happiness in Buddhism is not a destination. Happiness is the road.
Wow.
And by getting into the negative words and deeds in our life, we wind up falling off the wagon, and we're off the happiness road.
Yeah. Now tell us,
the Dharma,
how did you get involved
with that?
I'm sorry.
Through the Dharma, that's the path or the way, and if you get into it in some depth, you'll begin to, I'm sure, see the incredible wisdom behind it.
Oh yeah.
And these are the teachings. These are the teachings that are attributed to the Buddha. Whether, as I said, whether it's one person or not, I don't know. But these are the things that he taught: is simplicity and a route to a happy life. And these things are all suggestions. Everything in Buddhism, supposedly the words attributed to the Buddha, was that this is what I found to be a peaceful, happy road to follow. You can do it if it sounds good to you, and don't do it if you don't like it.
Interesting. Well, guess what? We're down to our last 2 minutes. Let's come up with a closing thought. What kind of summary do you have?
Okay, well, I will say one thing that we haven't touched is when you see people praying in Buddhist temples, they're not praying to a god as an idol. They're praying for guidance from Buddha in many cases, but they're also praying, as I would, to the Buddha that's inside each one of us. And the Buddha that's inside each one of us is the same as the heart of Jesus. It's just another title. It's all the same principle. The connection to the highest source in the universe and to all of creation, it's inside of us. We all have that connection. We've been given a soul, and we've been given it for a reason. So when you do see people praying in Buddhist temple, they're really praying for the internal connection to come through and to guide them.
Very good, very good. Well, I have to cut you off because we're just about out of time. 20 seconds, anything further?
No, except to say in true Buddhist tradition, thank you. Thank you for anyone who's listening. Thank
you
at the end for my opportunity. Gratitude is incredibly important to Buddhist thought as well. Very, very, very important.
I want you to know that the door is always open. Don't have to worry about trying to get everything in one time. You can always come back. But thank you very much. We're just about out of time. We'll talk to you again, Dr. Rector. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Now listen. You're welcome. And I'll listen to the train or start to talk. You're welcome to call back anytime. Take care now. Come on for now. Take care, everyone.